This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello, and welcome to episode 38 of Sunday Supplement. This week we have guests.
Well, a guest. And if you call her a guest, I say hostage.
You haven't tied her up on the internet or anything like that, have you?
I've wrapped a firewire around her and I'm spanking her with a cable. I don't know. What are the internet words which I could use? I could have said...
Modem?
No. Modoubt.
What?
I'm a bit wrong. We shouldn't record this on a Sunday, so we should record on a Monday like normal.
Well, the trouble is we have to record tonight because we're doing a transatlantic thing. So
yeah, and the trouble is that Americans are so behind that they can't get up on time. So we're doing this in the evening, which is very peculiar. It's dark outside, and I've got News of the World. What did you get?
I bought Sunday Times. Well, I say I bought Sunday Times.
Got it delivered, didn't you?
Yeah, and I couldn't be bothered to go out and get anything different, so I was lumbered with it, even though it's got Ricky Gervais all over it.
Ricky Gervais?
Yeah, unfortunately. But the trouble is, because we've got guests over, we're not really going to have time to talk about all our articles this week.
What? Can I talk about two, just really quickly?
I suppose so.
Right, I've got Face Facts, which is how to spot a womanizer. And this is actually linking into our guest, because this is full of really bad science. If he's only after sex, it'll be written across his face. They've shown pictures of Russell Brand, Steve Jones and Kellen Best, who are all womanizers, according to the News of the World. Five elements make up the face: water, wood, fire, earth, metal. I don't think so. I think it's actually skin, hair, skin, and a bit more skin. Water is the sexual part. Russell's watery eyes show he's passionate and sexual. Why is water sexy? If they water more when looking at you, it means he's after one thing and one thing only. Eye infections, not love. If a guy is crying in your face, apparently that means he's only after sex.
Explain this then. I've got a photo spread of all different weird photos from across the world, and I've got this picture of a man in Beijing who's squirting milk out of his eyes.
Oh, I hate that.
What do you mean you hate it?
I've seen it.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you did it.
No. It's this when they cry out, because mainly not because it's particularly disgusting or wrong. It's just that if you don't flush it all the way through, you're gonna have milk in your face going off. Right, one last thing before we head on to the main bit of the section, Simon.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is in my gardening section of News. And let the weeds go to blazes. Declare war on pests. Burn 'em. It's literally, hire a flamethrower to zap weeds.
Wow. I've got a lady getting a tattoo of flowers all over her.
I've got an interview with Lily Allen.
I've got an interview with Ricky Gervais and Tina Fey, and I've got an article all about Trichotillomania.
Trichotillomania?
Yes, Trichotillomania, which isn't a really bad 80s rock festival.
I've got a very interesting headline, which I was going to say farcical, but I think I might do now, which is, Mum, you're a MILF. Now, how do you feel if your mum was so hot you were mistaken for sisters and she got more male attention than you? So, Mum, you're a mother I'd like to f***. That's not healthy. Talking of things which aren't healthy, who's our guest, Simon?
Well, should we go and find her?
Let's go find.
So we're joined now by the uber skeptic, the mighty Rebecca Watson.
Uber. Hello.
Hello.
I like that. That's a new one. I don't think anyone's ever applied that particular prefix to the word skeptic. So thank you.
I was going to say hyper.
Nobody cares, is he?
You're not asked to be mean to me. So, Rebecca, what part of the UK do you come from with that accent?
I come from Scunthorpe, which is my favourite British town because it has a dirty word in it.
Yeah, you obviously haven't heard of Twuntf, which is a little village.
You made that up. That doesn't exist. You're just trying to pull one over on the gullible American.
You're from Boston, aren't you? Oh, no, you're in Boston, but you're from California.
So, no.
Have I offended you on Boston. Four different levels?
Yes. Yeah. You know what? This interview is over. No, it's not. I don't really have anything better to do. So I'm in Boston, but I grew up near Philadelphia.
Were you born and raised there? you spend most of your days? Chilling out, maxing, relaxing and cooling and shooting people outside of the schooling.
The schooling? That was not, yeah. That's not the way that goes.
That, it does, because it goes, and then a couple of guys.
Shooting
goes,
some people yeah. outside of the school, and then a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. Yeah.
That like, happened. Oh, wow.
Just, yeah. Yeah, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is pretty much what my life was like for the
You're
first
a butler.
I was, no. I was a hip, young, black boy.
And now a Scientologist.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've become a big-eared Scientologist now.
That's true.
So, do you want to tell us a little bit about Skeptic?
Sure. It's a website at skeptic.org, and I have 12 fantastic writers who help me out tackling subjects like Scientology or psychics and homeopathy. Basically, what we do is we bash bad science and we promote good science and we try to have fun doing it. So that's the short description.
And you're all girls.
We're all girls except for one. There's one lucky boy, Sam, who...
But he has a girl's name.
Yeah, he does. So that's the only reason why we let him in. And he also has boobs. So we let him in on a technicality.
That's why I let Simon do this podcast.
I heard that Simon has a luscious set of breasts. Yes. I've never
and ovaries,
seen.
According to him.
That's right. He did say he had ovaries.
Look at us calling back to stuff which we didn't record. Boom.
Your listeners are going to love that. This is going to be the best episode ever.
We don't have listeners. We have readers. It's very important.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I insult you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Essentially insulted us by not giving back our colony.
We want it back now.
Yeah.
Fine.
It's rubbish.
Take it.
Yeah, it is yeah, a bit.
We pretty much ruined it, so.
To be fair, it was really funny for the last 8 years, and then you kind of recast your president, and it's not nearly as funny anymore.
Yeah, we had our dirty way with this colony for a while there, but no, things are looking up now that we got the Bush out. So.
Is it palpable? Can you actually feel a kind of.
The hope?
Yeah,
the
can
hope
you feel the hope?
Yeah, although it's difficult to feel sometimes through that thick layer of cynicism
and
that.
Debt.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody is very happy, but also extraordinarily skeptical, which I think is the way to go in general.
Happy and skeptical. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, it's good to be upbeat and to be optimistic, but you don't want to just let, you know, Obama just glide through office on a bunch of promises that he never fulfills. So, you know, it's nice that there are still people that want to, you know, keep him to his word. So. We'll see how it goes.
I think the measure will be Jon Stewart on Daily Show. See how he develops over the next few years.
Yeah, well, he is our nation's journalist. So,
well, no, I mean, my point was that I think when Tony Blair kind of walked into Downing Street on Gilded Wings, that's a really mixed metaphor. I'm sorry, but I think satire kind of suffered for it.
Was he actually like walking on the wings?
Yeah, actually on the wings. Yeah.
They had to kill angels.
No, I was thinking of Paul McCartney's substandard Beatles tribute band. He was actually walking on their faces.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a nice thought. I'll go with that one then. But you think the satire died when
it
that
did
happened?
For a little bit? I think certainly.
Yeah. I try. And
I don't think it's happened. I think that we're still, you know, I mean, that's what they said after September 11th, that we couldn't be funny anymore.
Simon had a gig that evening.
I did. That's very true.
How did that go?
slightly maudlin, to be honest. Mm. But the promoter was just so blinkered that he went on and was trying to be all jovial and funny. And we all just went on and had a chat. It was a very bizarre evening. Huh. And then the next night, I did one in London to a room full of American tourists who were trapped. Because they couldn't get home because
of
the
planes. So they were probably scary.
And someone went on and started telling jokes about it.
I think that's the thing. You know, everybody always worries too much about that stuff. So I think that Americans will continue to be satirical. I mean, there's still plenty of stupid stuff going on. It's not like Barack comes into the Oval Office and everything's swell. There's still plenty of idiots to make fun of.
So talking of idiocy... Do you have a newspaper?
I do. I went out this morning, I got a muffin, and I got the Boston Sunday Globe in preparation for this podcast.
What sort of muffin?
I don't even know, actually. It was very unsatisfying, so I hope that the Boston Globe makes up for it.
You don't even know what type of muffin. Wow, America's full of opportunity.
It was.
You don't even know what muffin you got. I mean, literally, for me, a muffin, that's like a week.
It was actually a molten gold filled muff with diamond encrusted sugar.
That's gonna get in your teeth.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll probably die from it, but it was worth it.
We still have rationing. I don't even know what a muffin is.
You just get like a sack of sugar a week or something.
What's sugar? We have grain.
Yeah, sometimes I take, you know, being an American for granted, and I forget that we have things like muffins and coffee and newspapers.
You don't have coffee, you have coffee. I've seen that in films.
You really shouldn't get all of your notions about America from bad Mike Myers Saturday Night Live skits.
And Seinfeld.
And Seinfeld, yeah.
I assure you, we have coffee.
You have shops that sell them. I know that for a fact.
So newspapers, huh?
You have those too. Wow.
I like how, you know, I come in with certain expertises of sorts when it comes to skepticism and science, and we talk about politics and muffins, and I'm just lost.
What have you found in your Boston Globe? Does it have supplements? Is it a Sunday newspaper?
It is a Sunday. Well, today is Sunday. Mm-hmm. So,
but does it change its name on a Sunday?
Well,
like,
it's
at the Times. We have the Sunday Times. We don't have the Friday Times.
Right. No, it says in big letters across the top, Boston Sunday Globe. And so I was chatting earlier this morning with Sydney Rodriguez, and I said, what is considered a supplement? Like Parade magazine? Would that be a supplement? And he said he thinks so. So, but then I realized that we also have things like I found a section called Ideas, yeah. And it says Boston Sunday Globe on top. And
that would
like...
be a supplement. Anything that falls out when you're not reading the sports section is pretty much a supplement.
Well, in that case, then I have a lot of coupons to talk about. I'd first like to address Nature's Pride bread. It's 100% natural, and you can save 55 cents on it.
Isn't everything 100% natural?
Oh, I've got News of World Bingo. It says not wbingo.co.uk if you want to play bingo. So there you go. And you get £100 match bonus. Sign up at not wbingo. It's not is News of the World. No.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, News
right.
of the World. So it's not. W.
Is bingo a particularly British thing? I don't know.
No, that's something old people do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it's old people and the British. I don't know. I know nothing about bingo. That is outside my area of expertise.
So did you find anything in the paper?
Speaking of none of that, I have the ideas section, which I really liked, and it says end books off to the side of the top of it. And the front page article of this section really caught my eye, and it's Does the Amazon Jungle Conceal a Vanished Empire by David Gran. And it's really interesting. It's all about this guy, Percy Harrison Fawcett, who in the early 1900s explored the Amazon, and he found evidence of civilizations there that had since been lost. And a lot of people just thought he was really kooky. But recently there have been archaeologists exploring the Amazon and finding more and more evidence to suggest that there were, in fact, lost empires. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is not just because it's a very interesting story, but because I think it highlights very well one of the ways in which America is clearly superior to England. because I read another article a few days ago. It was, in fact, in The Sun, and it was about the lost city of Atlantis, which was discovered by The Sun using Google Ocean, where they zoomed in very far and saw some straight lines in the ocean, which looked kind of like maybe they could be roads or something. And to back up their assertion, they had a photo of Patrick Duffy and a little side article, a little sidebar that was actually written by Plato. The dead philosopher Plato wrote an article for The Sun about the lost city of Atlantis. So I thought that we could just, you know, think about that a minute and compare and contrast those two articles and how they might be indicative of further cultural divides between America
there was a BBC programme on it, and they said, see, I trust everything the BBC says, because we might have lost the empire, but we haven't lost our authority. And basically, yeah, because nobody thought previously that anybody could have as much agriculture in order to support a large society, but actually they did, if you include, like, you know, roads, which they kind of had as well, and other stuff that you need.
Yeah.
So we got that compared with what is obviously a JPEG artifact on a massively zoomed in picture.
Correct. And the right. The writer of this article is he's a writer for The New Yorker, and he just wrote a book on the subject called The Lost City of Z, and he will be lecturing at the Museum of Science next week.
In the UK, I think that book has come out, and it's called The Lost City of Z. So
No, I don't think that's right.
Has it got a foreword by a dead philosopher?
Apparently Nietzsche wrote the intro, but
Nietzsche's not dead. It's a
massacre. I'm not sure if it was posthumous or not.
Nietzsche's still alive, man. Nietzsche never died. Nietzsche didn't do no drugs.
Oh, you're developing a whole new conspiracy theory about
Nietzsche. Yeah, I am.
I think you should work on that. You should doctor photographs of Nietzsche, like, at the grocery store, you know, just like, but wearing a bathrobe and looking, you know, a little crazy Jim. From the syphilis or whatever. And try to sell them to the tabloids. See if you can get that going.
Another kind of cross parallel this week across the Atlantic I noticed was the two Jennies. Your Jenny McCarthy and our Jenny Barnett.
Jenny Barnett, yeah.
Evil MMR vacuous vaccine spouting.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about the name Jenny, but I mean, somebody should do a study on that. Kooky beliefs in the name Jenny.
Started the Industrial Revolution, though.
That's
she had
true.
The spinning Jenny was a type of, like, thing to help you weave cloth instead of having, like, women doing it. You just had a spinning Jenny, which was like an old machine. That kind of starts the Industrial Revolution. I'm not really being funny, but I'm doing facts, so shut up.
Okay, then. So, yeah, Jenny Barnett, she's the one that Ben Goldacre just got in a row with, right?
Mm, yeah, he took it down, didn't he? But it's all over YouTube now, which is beautiful.
I've posted it on Facebook.
So is she really famous there?
Not really, no. But LBC is quite a big London-based radio station, and she's been on national TV as well.
Yeah.
To me, it just sounded like someone had told her off for not inoculating her children, and she was using her radio station to vent. And it was quite telling that she was asking people to call in and tell her why she was right. And what was nice was people were calling in and telling her hundreds of reasons why she was wrong.
Yeah, and she was really rude to them. There was a nurse who called in, and she was pretty much the best voice of reason on there, and she was really rude to her. It was basically, it was 45 minutes or something of the worst just made-up claptrap I think I've ever heard broadcast. It was
quite frightening that went uncommented on in our national media, whereas when two comedians did a poor practical joke, they faced a sack on the radio. You probably didn't hear about that, but for comedians to kind of be facing disciplinary action because of what was a bad taste joke, and her to get away with what could essentially be a life-threatening...
Oh, it is life-threatening, yeah.
So that's a happy note.
Yeah, man, this is a real bummer. I've listened to your show before, and it was really funny and really enjoyed it, but now I'm just kind of depressed. You guys mind if I make myself a drink or something?
Or we could play Article or Farcical.
I think that's a good idea. I like article or farticle, which is what I always think you say.
It's farcical.
No, but farticle is funnier.
And it rhymes better.
Uh-huh, article, farticle.
But we're not pure art here. We have a proper podcast.
Wait, you're what? You're not?
No.
We are quite puerile. I laugh at the word beaver.
We have a nature preserve not too far from Boston, and I was visiting there once, and they had a little display inside a building, and it was all about the local wildlife, and they were talking about beavers in one of them, and they had a little glass case with a hole cut in it, and there was a beaver pelt inside, and there was a sign, and the sign said, "Stick your hand in the hole and touch the beaver." I swear, that's exactly what it said.
They must have known. They must have put that deliberately.
I don't know.
It's a joke for the dads, but something nice for the kids.
I've got something a bit like that in this week's Article of Farcical in the News of the World. So, Simon and Rebecca, are you ready to play this week's article or farcical?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Correct.
Wait, yes. No, okay, I'm ready.
Okay, you ready now?
Yes.
You had your ready break. No, you had a muffin. I disapprove of muffins for breakfast.
What?
Also, English muffins. English muffins don't look like that. They look like normal American muffins. I don't understand why you call them English, you freaks.
Well, then what do you call an English muffin, then?
A tea cake.
Tea cake? There's nothing cakey about it. It's bread. It's not sweet.
Cakes don't have to be
sweet. Thank you.
So, I'm going to read you out 4 articles, 3 of which are in this week's News of the World. One of them isn't. I've made it up. I've pulled it out of my bosom. You have to tell me which is the article or which is the farcical. First one, you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
We were ready 3 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still ready. I'm actually over.
You can see it. It's really German. You can see it. It's really, it's about a Seat car.
A Seat.
What's a Seat?
It's a type of car.
Okay.
Is that an article about it? A Seat being built on a Volkswagen chassis?
Yep.
How dull.
Man. Insulting.
Okay. Filming in cemetery angers residents. I don't know if that's deliberate, but it made me giggle.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Oh, this one's really quite nice. Love, honour and eBay.
Is that about buying your wedding on eBay?
Or buying your bride on eBay?
It's about buying your bride's dress on eBay specifically.
There we go. Okay.
I'll save the best to last. The most boring mass murderer I've come across. So, Rebecca, Simon.
Wait, no, that's actually the title.
That is the headline.
That's the headline.
The most boring mass murderer I've come across. Article or farcical?
Oh, man. That so last one is so ridiculous.
Who was the mass murderer?
Yeah, who's so boring?
Know who the mass murderer was? Who was boring? It was Harold Shipman.
Shipman's boring, is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which one is? Who did he kill?
He was the GP that killed all the old women.
Oh yeah, this is really the most depressing episode ever.
Well, don't beat yourself up.
Well, I am now. Thanks. God.
So you can see it. It's really German. Filming in a cemetery. Love, honor, and eBay. Or most boring mass murderer I've come across. Which one is it?
I think the last one has to be real because otherwise it's just too obvious. I don't think you would have come up with that because that's just absurd. So I think it's. I think the farcical is. Love, honor, and eBay, because it's that's really a terrible pun, and it's you sounded like you were lying when you said it. You had a duplicitous lilt to your voice.
Isn't voice stress analysis a bit hokum, though?
Yeah.
No. Well, it's not hokum to be able to tell when someone's lying based on what they say. In fact, Richard Wiseman has done a good deal of research into how to tell when someone's lying. And what he found was that most people stress looking at someone to see if they're lying, to see if, you know, they're scratching their nose or breaking eye contact. But what he found was that people are more able to tell when someone is lying if they don't look at them and pay attention only to what the person is saying. So
I know that. That research, I watched his videos and I did that.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, because he did post it online and he had 2 things about different films, but it was kind of obvious which one would be their favorite, because he had 2 scientists and one of them was saying, like, my favorite film is, you know, 2001 Space Odyssey, and then the other one saying my favorite film is The Core.
Right, and it's so it's obvious.
Exactly.
Like, no,
it was really obvious that no scientist would choose The Core, because they're not mental.
Exactly. Although I do have this, weird. I was talking about The Core just last night with several science geeks, and they actually love The Core because it's so bad. But that's another thing entirely. My point being that this is actually the ideal environment for telling when Izzy is lying. So
Izzy always lies
because her lips are moving, right?
Yes. Exactly.
See that?
I'm gonna go with filming in a cemetery.
So, Let's start from the beginning then. You can see it. It's really German. Is an article.
Yay.
The other one, which neither of you picked, the most boring mass murderer I came across. Article.
It's completely ridiculous. Did they go into exactly why he's so boring?
I thought he killed himself.
Yeah, but that doesn't make you interesting. One of you, therefore, is right, because one of you has picked the farcical and one of you is wrong and has picked a genuine article.
Well, inevitably, I'm the wrong one.
So what do I win if I'm right?
You win all our love and respect and America.
And I already have all of that, so I don't see what I'm getting out of this. Can at least have like another muffin.
If you buy it yourself, yeah.
Fine.
So, Rebecca, you say love, honour and eBay. And Simon, you say filming in a cemetery, Anger's residence, is a farcical. And I am very unhappy to report that Simon is correct.
Oh no. Oh,
I literally almost just fell off my chair then, and I'm not joking. I leant back in it and it collapsed.
Man, worst episode ever.
So, I win, because I'm brilliant, obviously. Rebecca, thank you ever so much for chatting to us.
Well, thanks for having me. It was fun, even if it was really depressing.
And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yes, definitely.
Are you going to come back to the UK soon?
I hope to. I'm planning to come out in the fall. So.
And if you just want to do a quick plug for the Skeptics Guide, you can do.
Yeah, and I think that we should have you guys come on the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe sometime, which is my podcast. What was that?
I'd have to have like some factual knowledge about something to do that.
Well, I'm glad you said that. You could just come on and chat about your cool podcast and how it is to be comedians who also happen to be skeptical. We like artsy types.
We're very artsy, though. We don't actually know anything. Though I've got a degree in science, so there. But that science is geography, so I don't know that.
That doesn't count, actually, because all you need for that is a map.
Pencils, need colouring pencils.
Yeah, we always got marked down for colouring land masses blue. Like, that was the main thing you had to remember to do in geography class.
We geographers, we know how to get around. We're slags!
Yes, you should definitely come on. And if any of your listeners are interested, they can find our podcast on iTunes or at theskepticsguide.org.
Awesome podcast.
Thanks. We should also have you on. We're doing Skeptic podcasts now. And we're just kind of getting into the swing of things now, but we're doing some more episodes coming up soon. So we should definitely have you come on there because you don't need to know anything to be on there. You just have to be fun.
Do I have to be a woman?
No, you said you have breasts, that's all you need.
Because an XY chromosome is just an XX chromosome, but slightly deteriorated and wrong.
Deformed, so, if you will.
Deformed. So basically all men are women. They're just a bit deformed.
Right, yeah. I mean, we should basically feel sorry for them and allow them in our clubhouse every now and again.
I think so.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. It was great.
Thank you, Simon and Izzy.
Time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week. There can only be one clear winner.
Is it?
Well, yeah, it's a young skeptic. Is it? Very knowledgeable about all things science.
I'm very flattered that you're describing me.
Very
this way,
funny so. Lady.
Yeah, that's
Izzy. So Rebecca Watson wins this week's Sunday supplement with the Boston Sunday Globe. So the paper you should have bought last week, if you're in England, was the Boston Sunday Globe. Well, you had a flamethrower weed killer.
I know! How cool is that? And I had Mum, You're a MILF, which is wrong on so many less. Can I win the UK version?
I'll tell you what, you can have a bonus point.
That means I've got three bonus points.
Two and a half, actually.
No, three.
Two and a half.
You've got to round up, Simon.
All right, three bonus points. You have three bonus points.
And another three, that's six.
If you would like to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Please leave us feedback on iTunes.
You can join our Facebook group, Sunday's Supplement.
And also, don't forget that you can listen to The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. Watch or listen to The Skeptic VOD or podcast and basically rub your face on Rebecca's homepage.
Or you could dig us on our website.
Yeah, dig us and her. Dig us all. Thank you very much for your letters and emails this week. Please do keep writing to us, because we will do a special listener thing, because apparently we don't read out them enough for you to realise. This week, anybody writing in will get a mention next week.
What if, like, thousands of people write in? It'll just be us listing people.
We'll have to do an amendment extra.
We'll have to have a supplement to the Sunday supplement. Thank you very much for listening. We're back next week with a full-on newspaper supplement fight fest. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Will.